Welcome to the BMI Center for Leadership and Ethics Leadership Journey Podcast.
This podcast is aimed to share leadership stories from our BMI Corps cadets and high-profile leaders who visit the Center for Leadership Ethics and BMI Post.
We're on this journey with you.
Hi, I'm Derek Pinkham.
And hey, I'm Emily Coleman.
We're your hosts for the podcast.
Court Whitman is BMI Class of 99, an NCAA Division I football player, retired U.S. Army Special Forces Green Beret, public speaker, an International Coach Federation certified leadership coach, and a facilitator committed to unlocking the hidden potential and high performance in individuals and teams.
We caught up with Court at the 10th Annual BMI Leadership and Ethics Conference, where he was a guest speaker.
Court is the first of four BMI alumni speaker podcasts from the conference we plan to release.
Please look for them in the near future.
And without further delay, we give you Court Whitman.
Boom shakalaka!
Yes. So, first question, just tell us a little bit about yourself, your history, and what led you to BMI.
Right, like so we like to call it your origin story.
Yeah, I guess my origin story would be oldest kid of five, grew up in a military family, and my dad was in the Army. Mm-hmm. And as I began to make meaning of my life as a young kid and kind of figure out what I wanted to do as I moved forward, you know, my dad was one of the most probably effective influences on my life. And so I recognize that not every kid has a great experience mm-hmm, with their
right,
parents.
Right.
Mine happened to be really good. And so I said, hey, what I want to do with my life is I just want to be a soldier. And so when I got kind of through high school and I had that decision to, hey, what are you going to do with your life
right.
at this point?
Yeah.
It was like, hey, I just want to be a soldier. And the meaning I made in that moment was, well, to do that well, I need to go to a military school.
Right.
Right. And I know now that that's not in fact true.
Right.
Right. Because there's
sure.
great folks that are serving as soldiers, airmen, Marines
yeah,
throughout
absolutely.
Our country that didn't go to the Naval Academy or West Point or, you know, VMI,
right,
which is where I went to school. So as I reflect on what am I all about, just a guy that wanted to serve others. And that started for me as a soldier in the Army.
How'd you hear about VMI?
Yeah, really great question. I would say that my dad went to West Point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of found VMI in my junior high school ROTC department from a close friend of mine. His name was Christopher O'Toole, that was looking to go to VMI.
Mm-hmm.
And in passing, I saw what he was kind of studying and positioning for. And I said, too late for West Point. I wasn't deliberate on that, right? I can't get that done. Maybe I've got a chance with this place called VMI. And so really the catalyst for me to explore this place was a buddy, Chris
mm-hmm.
O'Toole. And oh, by the way, we were classmates together
uh-huh.
here
That's
at
sweet.
VMI from small town, rural North Carolina, Elkin, North Carolina.
Yeah, okay.
Two stoplight town,
oh,
but two people at VMI from
nice.
There.
Like
yeah.
Town.
Yeah, right.
A little bit.
So
how has your definition of leadership changed throughout your experiences at VMI?
I would say that when I first would have fielded or considered a question about what does it mean to me to be a leader or how I define leadership.
Right.
I wouldn't be really proud of my response because
yeah.
I think it's, what I know now, it would be pretty elementary. I think it was who's in charge, right? Someone who's in charge, yep, they're a leader. And so I think that's where it started. Now, and I carried that with me even upon graduation, even as I moved into the military. It wasn't until I began to learn that just because you're in charge doesn't make you a leader,
right?
Right? That makes you a manager. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I define management. I define management as the supervision of people and or projects in order to accomplish tasks, missions, and assignments. And I've differentiated leadership significantly from that. So leadership for me is simply the singular word influence. And, you know, I'm kind of on a mission to be a high-performing leader. And so I even take it a step further and I say, high-performing leadership is effective, positive influence. Just influencing, my definition for leadership, isn't enough. You got to be an effective, positive influence if you want to be a high-performing leader.
Right. So where do you draw inspiration from as a leader?
I'd say a couple places. Specifically, I'd almost approach the question of, and without the mm-hmm. kind of final tagline of as a leader, it might be for me more of just where do I draw my inspiration.
Yeah.
And then I'll comment mm-hmm. about as a leader yeah. as well. Mm-hmm. Really two places. I'd say my family mm-hmm. and my faith are both two things that have really inspired me. And like I said earlier, I'm very much aware mm-hmm. that everyone in this great world didn't grow up in a way that I did, but my family dynamic and family environment was incredibly strong. It's very supportive. It was in a way in which, you know, almost like Stonewall Jackson says, you may be whatever you resolve to be, right? And I think that's really powerful. And so I had a ton of support, and that just inspired me to kind of chase my dreams, to be honest. I think second to that, faith was just this idea that I'm accountable to somebody with my behavior and my actions. Mm-hmm. And that accountability comes because I don't want to disappoint my God. Right. And therefore, I've got to be very kind of deliberate on how I make decisions. And that has inspired kind of me as I move forward. I think as a leader, I'd have to say competitive sport is where I drew my inspiration, because it starts in those moments as being a member of a team and having to follow someone. And so being that follower really is where it started. And then once you do that well and you have success, because there's a winner and there's a loser when you're playing a sports contest, in almost every case, I don't know if I even know of one that there's not a winner at the end of it. When you experience some of that success, I think the natural progression is, well, then how can I now be a captain?
Yeah.
Right? How can I be more of an effective influence and kind of take on that role deliberately? So I think that just being an athlete, playing on a team, competing to win was kind of that inspiration that started for me for leadership.
So what leadership opportunities did you take as a BMI cadet when you were here?
Interesting. And I don't know that I took anything deliberately, right? And so
right.
I think there's a few things that pop into my mind when I reflect on that. Number one, it was just being on the football team, right? I think that in itself was its own leadership laboratory and very developmental for me. And I consider that a leadership opportunity. I think second to that, it was really just my approach to academics. Mm-hmm. And I'd say that was more of like a leading of self and leading by example, which I think is very cliche, but I was very fortunate. To be honest, quick story here, I was rejected from VMI when I first applied my first time. Not smart enough, right? I had horrible SAT scores, and my body of work just in high school wasn't incredible.
Yeah.
And so I had to reapply to get in. But that little fire in me, and I was fortunate to make it on the dean's list, so I had academic stars every semester of my entire career here.
Wow.
So it was kind of like a challenge. But I considered that as, again, if leadership is influence, which is how I define it, that's a way in which I believe I led,
right,
is through just academically the success that I had there. I'd say third, it was as a mentor, as an upperclassman. So like my third class year, specifically for new football players on the team. You know, if you can play football and play football at VMI, it's difficult. And if you have opportunities to play somewhere else, I think folks, when they come here and they experience what it's like in freshman year, are like, you know what? I think I'm going to go play for this other place because I didn't sign up for all of this. Mm-hmm. And so it's just leading those folks through those moments, I think, naturally just progressed. And
right.
So I don't know that I pursued that opportunity, but I'd say that reflecting in this moment, that was an opportunity that came to me. Another opportunity is I was on the honor court, and that was something that was really interesting for me because it wasn't a leadership position I sought out.
Right.
I still remember a guy named Tim Ramsey, and if Tim listens to this, he's going to laugh, but Tim played lacrosse. I still remember him coming into my room and say, "Hey, Court, will you be on the honor court?" I was like, "What?" He's like, "No, man. I mean, I think you'd be great at it, right?" And so many times in my life, people see something in me that I don't see in myself.
Right.
And I'm kind of open to that opportunity. So on a court. Didn't go looking for it. It came looking for me.
Yeah.
And I did that for
but
2 years.
Right. And that's yeah. that's the influencing that you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Like, they see me in that role. Okay, let me check this out.
Yeah, and I think some of it was interesting because, like I said, Tim played lacrosse. And I think in his mind, he was like, there's no athletes represented on the honor court, man. We want you to do it.
Yeah.
And it worked out. And I think the final thing would be that my senior year, my first class year, I was on regimental staff. And that was probably my first deliberate kind of pursuit of a leadership position. Mm-hmm. I still remember my application and turned it in to Sergeant Major Hockaday at the time. and I took this really kind of atypical approach to the essay. I didn't even write an essay.
Yeah.
Like I wrote the word leadership in the middle of the page and I made like a collage of words all around it. And so I guess it worked, but I kind of took my own approach. I think maybe just being different in that moment allowed me to kind of do that. So those are my five experiences with leadership.
Good.
At
those
AMI.
Are great. So what advice would you give cadets about their leadership development?
The first thing would be take some time to reflect. I think leadership, if you agree and would accept my definition that it's positive, effective influence, you have to understand how are you doing that. And I think the best two places I would encourage people to reflect upon, number one is, what are the core values that you have in your life that significantly impact your decision making? Because they're there. And in my life, I never called them out as core values, but they were kind of just part of my decision making. And I say, once you deliberately do call those out, give words to that, like honesty, bravery, you know, perseverance,
right.
spirituality, humility, which happen to be my top five and signature core values. It is incredibly helpful as you begin to assess what environments you want to go into. For example, I'm not going to be able to lead real well. My ability to influence in a team that's not going to work hard isn't going to work, because working hard is so important for me. It's a core value for me. It kind of just has to be there. And so once I was able to give language to those behavioral norms through core values, it helped me focus. So that'd be the first thing. Reflect on and identify core values. That could be really impactful for folks that are looking to be that effective, positive influence. And the second thing would be, in a similar vein, not behavior, but strengths, right? Begin to understand and put the pen to paper around, what are you really good at from a leadership strength place, and allow that to inform you. So those would be the two things that I'd kind of share with folks, from an advice place on
right.
their leadership development. Be reflective on those two things and answer those questions.
Yeah, great. So what is one or a couple things that you wish you knew as a cadet that you know now, or that you've been through, or maybe it's a mistake you made?
Let me think. I would say that be intentional about the relationships that you build here. For me, I was very much stuck in two places with my relationships. The football team. I spent so much time there. It was a full-time job. It wasn't until the last semester of my senior year, when I had no more football because the season was over, that I was able to really experience just getting to know other people. And the other place that I spent all my time was within just the intimate relationships of my own roommates. Because if I wasn't at practice, if I wasn't in class, in most cases, I was probably in my room studying. And I think there's a lot of missed opportunities for me specifically as I reflect back on my time as a cadet. There's so many incredible people at VMI. I didn't get a chance to know them all well. And so I would encourage anyone listening to be very deliberate about getting to know others here on post. And I would also add that the reason why I don't think that I did that well is because I was most comfortable kind of being in and around people that I know, right? And so there's a lot to be said about diversity, Right. And diversity isn't just different sex, right? Which I actually saw 2 years of all male and 2 years of women introduced to the Institute. And I thought that was one of the best things that ever happened to the school. Because guess what? Life exists in a co-ed environment.
Right.
So why not have that as part of kind of your college experience? And then it's just diversity of thought, which is really the most powerful thing to be exposed to. And I didn't really stretch my way of thinking while I was here like I should have. So those are the two things. Be deliberate on building relationships here and stretch outside your kind of comfort zone.
Yeah.
Go beyond, you know, people just like you.
Yeah, it's, I'm going to say this again. I said it earlier when we were with Carl Rennie. He said kind of the same thing, like go out and, you know, get uncomfortable sort of. But also the two lieutenants that just interned with us, mm-hmm. we sat them down for a podcast and they said the same thing.
Really?
Like you have to go out here and you have to meet people and do stuff to get involved and you have to get uncomfortable to get comfortable again.
Sure.
You know, you can't just stay in your little bubble. And they were saying like people miss all these opportunities and they're like, well, why can't I do that? Or why can't I do this? And it's because they don't go out and get them. They're not deliberate.
Absolutely.
So, yes. It's funny how both of you are saying the same thing and you graduated in
99.
Yeah, and they just graduated. So, I mean,
some things are
carries.
Timeless. Some things are timeless.
Yeah.
And as I'm listening to you, I would say that there's one other thing that I think I might bring up in this moment, and that is take advantage of the summers, right? Specifically, what I would say here is try different things that you think you might be interested in.
Right. Like job-wise?
Right, from an interning perspective. Now, the reason I say this is because I work with so many folks today as a leadership coach to help them move through transitions mm-hmm. and transition experiences. And, you know, for me, I'm not giving this advice with experience because my summers were dedicated to interning with the Army. Like I went to airborne school after my freshman year. I went to air assault school after my sophomore year. And I was at what we call advanced camp after my junior year, which is basically the testing ground for folks who are going into the Army. It's where we kind of get evaluated on what we've learned. So my summers were already booked with learning more about the Army, but I knew that's where I was going. So if you're here at VMI and you're not sure that you're going to take kind of a commission in one of the branches of the military, take advantage of the summers through internship opportunities.
Right.
Don't be stuck senior year
not
kind of having a good idea of what I'm not sure what I might like.
So what are some things as an effective leader that have helped you on your leadership?
I think some of them are really just pretty simple, right? It starts with just working really hard, right? Effort has always been one of my edges. Don't be outworked by anybody, right? And so that I think that's kind of that, well, I'm gonna influence, I'm gonna lead by example by being someone that can be dependent upon to work really hard. But I think it matters. So that's the first thing I say that was really helpful. I think the second thing, continue to learn about yourself and understand that the catalyst in some cases for the most effective impact is how can I change my way of doing things in order to be more effective? How can I, you know, have this what I call self-awareness explosion that what I've been doing ain't working, right? And guess what? The other people don't have a problem. They don't need to change. I need to change.
Like a self-evaluation.
Right. And then just being willing to then shift my own behavior because I'm telling you what, if someone listening can tell me how to control others, give me a call.
Yeah.
Right. We'll make a whole lot of money. Mm-hmm. I don't know that anyone has incredible success there. And that's saying from a guy who was in the Army
mm-hmm.
and that has a very strict hierarchy and like, hey, look, this person's in charge. He outranks me. I'm going to do what they say. I've even seen that not be incredibly effective, even in the military. So it's when we can shift our own behavior through an understanding of what the people that we're working with need from us, that really allows you to influence at a high level. So that'd be the other thing I'd offer.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about other practices earlier today at the conference. You want to talk about some of those? Like meditation was one thing.
Yeah, certainly. And so I would say that, you know, there's a couple things that I've grown in my understanding, not because I've cornered the market on the greatest habits to being a high performing leader, but in a lot of cases, I've just talked to other men and women that are doing it really well in their own work. And so there's really four things that I guess I would share that are habits to consider if you're looking to be really effective in your work as a leader. I think the first one would be, and I comment on this a little bit, is just create impact through self-awareness. Mm-hmm. You know, understanding the most about yourself opens the door for you to be really impactful. I'd say the second thing would be, you know, just activate resilience. Understand that when setback comes, because it comes to us all, don't stay there too long. There's tons of work out here about this. People say, well, it's fail fast or fail forward, but it's just moving through setback as fast as possible. Define for yourself what fulfillment looks like in your life. For a long time, for me, it was all about the career. But as I've gotten older, there's so much to just beyond what you're dedicating your time to from a professional place that really allows you to be fulfilled. And I think if you can figure out fulfillment, you end up having an infectious passion. And when that passion is present, you end up being a joy to be around.
Right.
And that just allows you to influence others.
You have a podcast.
Yeah.
You want to tell us a little bit about your podcast?
The first thing I would say is I didn't sit down one day and say, I'm gonna start a podcast, right? And I think that for a lot of folks that can identify with this, especially entrepreneurs, it's kind of like, well, I've got this creative idea. And then I try it, and it's a miserable failure. But if you allow that to inform what you do next, then you might have something. And so my experience with my podcast is kind of like that. So let me just start with just giving you an idea of how it started. So I'm a leadership coach. I own and operate my own company. And that basically means we're not eating. We're not paying the mortgage unless I can generate the income to get it done. So it comes with some anxiety. And it also comes with this idea that how can we be more creative? So I had this idea to put together something called a High Performance Pathways Mastermind Group. In my work, what I'm trying to do is inspire folks to perform at a high level. And I believe the way in which to do that is help unlock your hidden potential and develop your competencies so you can achieve incredible results with your life. That's kind of my mission statement. And so I felt like if I could bring together people to listen to guest presenters speak as I interviewed them over a three-month period, so four times a year, mm-hmm. for 3 months, you know, Derek and Emily would pay, right? Get this. This is why it's probably such a failure. 500 bucks to listen to these six guest presenters, one every couple weeks, talk about their ability to perform at a high level. And at the end of that, you'd have an opportunity, because it was a very intimate group of just 10 people, ask them questions, right?
Right.
So that's where it started. It was a web-based interview process where people would come and listen.
Right.
And it was a miserable failure. Nobody was interested. And so at the end of that, I bumped into a buddy of mine that said, hey, Court, you know what? Just because that fell apart and no one was interested in being a part doesn't mean that you shouldn't do that. Why don't you just record these web interviews and post them on your website and people could just get content? And so I considered that. Mm-hmm. And then someone else said, hey, you know, Court, I've seen some of your work on LinkedIn. Have you ever considered a podcast? I said, no. Mm-hmm. And so what began as this mastermind group evolved into what is now a podcast that I do. And my podcast is called, thank you so much for asking me about this.
Of course.
My podcast is called High Performance Pathways. And it's basically a one-on-one intimate interview with people that are doing incredible work with their life. And I'm asking them to share out things like, how do you define high performance? You know, what has been your path to the incredible results that you've achieved in your life? And I think it inspires and it's informative. And that's what it is. So check it out, right? It's on Spotify, our Heart Radio, Apple Podcast, and Google Play as High Performance Pathways. So
great.
Yeah.
We'll shout that out.
Yeah, shout it out. Keep it going.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks for coming.
The Center for Leadership and Ethics would like to thank the following. Cadet Caleb Minus, Class of 2020, for the intro and backing music. Find more of his musical stylings on his Instagram page at Minus Official, MYNUS Official. Colonel David Gray, United States Army retired, director of the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics. And of course, as always, our podcast guests. Find this podcast and other Center for Leadership and Ethics programming information on the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics website or try our YouTube channel. Follow the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram accounts. See you next episode of The Journey. Thanks for tuning in.